Welcome back, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 and Big Joe filling in for Jared Stillman, Stillman & Company. Jared with some nice time off ahead of the busy football season, which is going to be here before you know it. Titans training camp exactly 2 weeks from today. Players will report to the Titans practice facility, and then it's full speed ahead for the Brian Callahan era, which I'm very excited about, Big Joe. And one thing that I think is interesting, because I don't think Titans fans have really let it sink in yet, is the player that will be missing from that practice field. We'll notice it right away. We're always out there running around shooting the Titans, but I don't think it will sink in for the fans that Derrick Henry, King Henry, he's not going to be on that practice field anymore. And when they have their first game at Nissan Stadium against the Jets, guess what? He's not going to be there anymore. Has it sunk in for you?
They're going to forget about him the second if Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears can go out and have a great game against the Jets. I'm not saying they're going to forget about him forever, but it will be as bad. I'm saying if they win that game and the Titans can go 2-0,
that first, yep,
and those
that
two home running backs yep. can come out and do that, and then if the Ravens start out 1-1 and Henry hasn't doing great, then they'll be like, all right, they'll miss.
That was the right move. You'll miss him.
Yeah, obviously course, yeah, you will if you're yeah. a Titans fan.
I mean, I'm going to miss the stiff arms, yep. right? There's some great moments
sure.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also got better with the media, talking to the media. He got better over the years, his 8 years.
I didn't it's funny, you weren't here, but 31 teams passed on Derrick Henry in 2016.
Second round. He was drafted in the second round.
And one team, the Patriots, they didn't have a first-round pick. So they're not part of that. So that's a trivia question. Titans passed on him.
Yeah, first time around. Yeah.
So he took him in the second round and grabbed him up, but just what he did. And that's another question that this franchise, I think, has had the best running backs in the history of the National Football League. Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Chris Johnson, and Derrick Henry. Name another team that's had four running backs.
Not as big as that. What's the saying? The Mount Rushmore of running backs belongs here in Tennessee.
Yeah. Now, none of them won a Super Bowl.
Which, at the end of the day, that's what matters.
That's it. But I don't know another franchise. And Derrick Henry capped that off with how great he was.
Yeah.
In the first 2 years, he didn't play hardly any.
No. 2016, 2017.
Didn't play. You had DeMarco
Murray.
Thank you. And who's the guy that left that blocked all the media people?
Deion Lewis.
Thank you. He blocked you too?
No.
He blocked me.
No one blocks Ian. Come on.
He blocked really so many people. And I don't even know the guy. Yeah.
Joe,
he did a full block.
Take a guess. How many yards Derrick Henry rushed for his first year, rookie year, 2016?
600.
Oh, no. 100. 100. Just 100. He didn't. Oh, wait. No. Oh, I'm sorry. 400. 400. I was looking at attempts. That makes much more sense. So 400.
All right.
Okay. Next year, 700.
All right.
Third year is when he started becoming it. Yeah. That's when it hit. It just took his rookie year, second year, and then that third year, over 1,000 yards, 2019, second straight 1,000-yard season. Third year, 2,000 yards. That was in 2020. Unbelievable. 16,
so his fifth year, he hit 2,000 yards.
Fifth year.
So, I mean, you're going to miss him because he was out there. I mean,
he was also the face, too.
Right. The last game against the Jags, the home game, he kicked ass. I mean, he was great. But we talk about moments. I mean, it's hard for me not to the 99-yard touchdown versus the Jags
so good
on Thursday night, just because they knew he was getting the football. Everybody in that stadium knew Derrick Henry was getting
everybody knew, but they still couldn't stop him.
And the fact he almost stiff-armed Corey Davis at the 15-yard line because he thought he was going to get tackled by him, it was amazing. So those are moments I don't think we'll ever see again. It's amazing watching that.
Ian, you don't have that moment, do you?
Okay. There's already been one safety in this half. Drive starts at the one and looking for a little breathing room, and they get that and plenty more. Derrick Henry still going. Stays in bounds. He might go. 99 yards for the touchdown. Well, you're going to see that Jaguars, they collapse on that left side, and Derrick Henry's just able to find a little bit of a crease, and then he's able to get down that sidelines, 99 yards. Images of Tony Dorsett on Monday Night Football right there.
Unbelievable.
I was looking at that play, and it said that Mariota had the option of keeping
Wasn't it an RPO?
Yeah. Keeping the ball, and he handed it off.
Well, it's a good thing he did.
Right.
Mariota made the right call on that one.
Well, and so that brings a bigger question. If Titans and Ravens meet in the playoffs, right, and you love Derrick Henry, who are you going for?
I don't know.
You got to pick one of the two. You can't straddle the fence.
I've been in Nashville 3 years. I really enjoyed covering Derrick Henry. He's been nothing but respectful to the media. Really, really loved getting the chance to cover his career here. I don't know, Joe. I think though, if I'm covering the Titans, especially for Fox 17, and I'm following this playoff run, first year Callahan era, I'm sorry. I think that might be the time I don't cheer for Derrick Henry. You got to cheer for the Titans, right? I mean, Ian, am I wrong?
I mean, Derrick Henry is one of my favorite Titans players ever, probably.
Okay,
but
so
I'm still.
Who would you cheer for?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to cheer for the Titans.
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you
especially it is kind of a little bit of a painful situation that he went to the Ravens.
But we knew this. We knew it a year ago. This was going to probably happen.
Yeah, right. During the trade deadline, there was all those rumors.
Right.
They almost made the trade for him. Yeah, well, that's true. But it just. I don't know. It just hurts a little bit more once.
Wasn't that the London game when the speculation started getting out about just put him on the Ravens plane flying back? Was that last year?
Maybe.
Everything goes by so fast.
I don't know if that was last year or the year before, but they did play Baltimore in London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was that game?
Well,
it was either last year or the year before.
There's so many games run together now. My head hurts.
I'm not as good at that as pulling games out of, you know, my
I thought Henry would go, part of me, to Dallas just because Jerry Jones wanted that splash with him.
Yeah.
But now he goes to Baltimore, and that's...
Jerry Jones learned his lesson with Ezekiel Elliott. Too big of a splash is not always worth it.
I do think they realized they needed another Thunder back.
But it had
when they lost Zeke.
Right, but it had to be Baltimore because they took Derek Mason, they took McNair, they took Samari Roll.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the greatest Titans who've ever played.
They all go there.
Ended up in Baltimore, and it's really tough.
That's so weird. Who are you cheering for? Are you cheering for Derrick Henry if he plays against the Titans in the playoffs?
I'm not a Titans fan, so I've never been a Titans fan.
So?
I just like football.
So?
But I would cheer in that situation. Because I think I like the underdog knocking down the big dog, so I'd go for the Titans.
Titans are the underdog in this case.
Yeah.
Maybe the other question, I'm not going to say better question, but maybe the other question is, Titans fans, do you want Derrick Henry to succeed this season? Like, do you want him to have success, or is it so hard to watch him in another uniform that you're like, no, I don't want him to run. I don't want him to be happy. I do not like this breakup, this divorce. I'm curious to hear what Titans fans would say after, you know, because he was the face of the franchise for 8 years. 8 years, the king, and so much success that followed him, and now he's on another team.
I don't want him to succeed. Titans fan,
you don't want him.
Ian, do you? I mean, you're more of a Titans fan
but
than we are.
But he also said he's a Derrick Henry fan.
So, I mean, you know, if he's in the Super Bowl and it's against, you know, San Francisco or something like that, I'll probably root for him to get a ring. Yeah, as much as it would pain me to see the Ravens succeed.
Right.
But what about just overall success this season with the Ravens? Or do you find yourself secretly pulling for him?
No, not really.
Okay.
No, not any extra. No.
So this is an interesting question because you're asking about if, you know, you want to see him succeed, but then you don't want him to see him succeed. when Alabama played Michigan in the Rose Bowl, right, this past year in the playoff, I put a question out there. Tennessee fans, who you rooting for?
Uh-huh.
And like 48% voted for Alabama.
Well,
really?
I'm like, if you're a Tennessee fan, you want Alabama to lose. And don't give me this conference garbage.
My buddy is a big Vols fan. He roots for other SEC teams.
Why? You want them to
lose.
They
have conference pride.
I don't see it.
Okay, that's
SEC
a good excuse.
Conference.
Yeah.
He does. He'll text me. He's a big Vols fan. Steven, we went to high school together. He went to UT. He watches all the UT stuff.
Yeah.
But when they're not in it, he's rooting for the SEC team to win the championship.
I really don't think if you're a Tennessee football fan, you can root for Alabama. You mentioned earlier.
He does it.
I did.
You don't like Marshall.
I'm on the other side. I conference pride, uh-uh. If it's my rival, my nemesis, my villain, there's a villain in my story still.
Right.
Uh-uh.
So you want Marshall. It's no malice. You just want Marshall to lose every game, right?
Every single game.
Yeah. I love this.
Sorry, Thundering Herd, but that is exactly where I am.
But I love your passion because you're loyal to your team and you don't want to see your rival succeed.
No,
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. But I think that's interesting. 48% said they were cheering for Alabama. If you're a Titans fan and you're getting ready for the season, you already know it. King Henry's not going to be there. How do you feel about King Henry in that Ravens uniform? But specifically, are you cheering for him to succeed? Or do you maybe not want him to succeed because he's no longer repping that two-tone blue? We want to hear your answer. Call in 1025 The Game phone line. We'd love to hear what you have to say as we continue this hour talking about the Titans leading up to training camp in 2 weeks. So give us a call. Stay with us. Jill and Joe here filling in on 1025-1063 The Game. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Jill Jelinek, Fox 17, Big Joe filling in here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. And we asked you before the break, Titans fans, are you cheering for Derrick Henry this season when he's repping the Baltimore Ravens purple? Or are you maybe not cheering him on since he's no longer wearing the two-tone blue? And I believe we have Lance on the line, wants to chime in. Lance, thanks so much for giving us the call. What are your thoughts on King Henry?
You're daggum right. I'm cheering for him. I hope he breaks the rushing record. He's been behind that trash line for 2 years. They made him basically a loser because they didn't help him out. And I hope that he has a great year. I hope the Titans have a great year. But if they could have paid Tony Pollard what they paid him, they could have paid Derek that way for another year. They had that other running back. I hope he runs the ball down her throat. I hope he gets 200 yards against the Titans if they're playing, but I hope the Titans win.
Lance, that was awesome. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. And clearly Big Joe agrees with you on that one. Thanks for your call.
Amen.
We also have James in Ashland City calling in. And James, thanks so much for chiming in. 1025-1063 The Game. This is Jill and Joe with you. What are your thoughts on King Henry?
Well, Jill and Joe, it's good to hear you listening on my way to work every day. It's good to have you guys filling in for Jared. The guy that called in before me pretty much – as far as Derrick Henry goes, just pretty much I echo everything he says, but that's not going to make me pull for the Ravens. I mean, Derrick Henry should be a Titan. In my personal opinion, and we've had this conversation where I work, I think, and most people I've talked to think Derrick Henry has at least two more good years in him. And everything he said about not giving him the tools here, especially on that offensive line to be successful, they didn't set that man up for success. Absolutely. Now, let me speak about the Tennessee-Michigan thing real quick. I have made this abundantly clear to radio talk show hosts over the years, and my friends, I am a former season ticket holder for the University of Tennessee, and you could get Vladimir Putin to put up a Russian king against Alabama, and I would still pull for the Russians. Hey, guys, let me just explain. Can I put my Dr. Phil hat on for a second?
Yeah.
Two things real quick. It's in our human DNA to be tribal. This whole thing, I'm going to pull for the SEC, it's unconsciously tribal. Secondly, number two, we in the South, we have got this huge inferiority complex that goes all the way back to the Civil War, us losing it, and it's always us playing the victimization card. So back in the 90s when Peyton Manning didn't win the Heisman Trophy, ESPN's biased towards the Big Ten in Michigan. We have a huge inferiority complex down here. It is just that. And that's why so many people who are Tennessee fans are stupidly pulling for the Alabama. There's no way. That's just going to benefit Alabama in recruiting. One last thing, and I'll get off here and let somebody bloviate a little bit like I am right now. Can you imagine a New York Yankee fan losing to Boston and Boston being in the World Series against the Dodgers? Do you think for 1 minute they're going to be pulling for the Yankees?
Nope, absolutely not.
No! All right, I'm going to let you go, guys. Thanks for letting me get a chance to blow hard. Have a good day.
James, thank you for that awesome call and that lesson in tribalism. I loved the enthusiasm and the fire, man. I swear, some of our callers, as they're driving home from work, Joe, I bottle up their energy. We need some of that over here.
Well, I mean, Jeff says it's usually fans of SEC teams that aren't good that want other SEC teams to win, I guess, so they can bask in their success. Yes! I've heard Vandy fans even say this, like, well, you know, Tennessee beat us, but if Tennessee beats Iowa, then look at us. You know, No. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're not rooting for Tennessee. Stop it.
No.
And that's what a great point he has. If you're a Tennessee fan, you don't want that other team to have success. If you're a Titans fan, deep down, you don't want Derrick Henry to succeed on the Ravens, because if he succeeds, that means the Ravens succeed, and that means they're better than your team. So I'm with it. So thank you for that. There are people out there who think like me, and I kind of like that. I kind
scary.
Of like that.
It's a little scary, but that's okay. Right. That's okay. We did, you know, a little earlier we mentioned how obviously King Henry won't be on the practice field come training camp in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, Titans kick off the Brian Callahan era with the training camp. He won't be there, but two running backs will, Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. And the two of them are very, very different from King Henry. And they're also very different from one another. And what Coach Callahan is trying to do with this offense is very different than what the Titans have done historically in the past, right? We've heard when any of these coaches, especially Callahan, have described this new Titans offense, almost always you hear passing, 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 passing. There's going to be a lot of passing and then some. So, yes, it will be very different from the offenses that we saw in King Henry before. And I would even argue from what I've heard from this coaching staff and the players, King Henry may not even fit in this offense anymore. But I believe that these two running backs, Spears and Pollard, absolutely do fit in there, and I want to get into that more coming up after the break.
Yeah, we got a few moments for that, but I think with the new offense comes in, it's not going to be conducive to what the Derrick Henry did. It's all good and different, but now Baltimore now adapts their offense a little bit to Derrick Henry and what he could do, and see what happens. But that team is just stacked from top to bottom. But again, Baltimore's problem is, can they get past Kansas City? Is Derrick Henry helping them get past Kansas City? Can they get to the next level? Because I'm telling you what, if they do another year where they get beat by Kansas City at that level, people won't. Lamar can't get it done. Derrick Henry didn't help. Maybe Harbaugh's message has grown tired up there because he's been there
a while.
2008, I think. So he's going into his 17th season as an NFL coach. So there's a lot of factors that weigh in for Derrick Henry here. But this new offense, he wouldn't have fit into that. And no. I get it. Now, no. They're paying Pollard more than they had to pay Derrick Henry, and that's what's happening, all that. But I think Derrick Henry knows to kind of get his legacy just perfect is winning a Super Bowl, and I think that helps.
Well, we talked about that before. What do players want at the end of the day? Are they in it for the money? Are they in it because it's a comfy home, or do they want a ring? And Derrick Henry made that clear in his farewell speech. In his post-game press conference, I should say. His farewell speech at Nissan was done very well. But his press conference, he mentioned he wants to get a ring.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, that's the bottom line. As you look at your – that's kind of seals your legacy, what goes on. Look, I'm a huge Dan Marino fan. I think he's the best quarterback that's ever played the position ever. Didn't win a Super Bowl.
Didn't win a ring.
So that you got to take that – It hurts. It hurts him. I mean, he's admitted, you know, Jim Kelly, great quarterback, didn't win a Super Bowl. But then that jackass Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. But Trent Dilfer's doesn't make him a better quarterback than Marino. I can't stand Trent Dilfer. Brad Johnson won one with the Buccaneers. He's not a better quarterback than Marino, but it just helps. It kind of gets that legacy put out there, and you got that Super Bowl. So if Henry can get that, then – you look at what his career is. Is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. He's under 10,000 yards. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer right now. He's still got chapters left to write in his book.
I think he's a Hall of Famer right now.
Do you?
I do. Two-time rushing champion, 2,000-yard season. I do.
So is Eddie George a Hall of Famer? Eddie George has 700 more yards than him.
He should be.
No, not at all. Hall of Fame. I think they're in the Hall of Good.
Hall of Good. Different from the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Okay. That's fair.
Henry still has a story to be written.
Correct.
Yep.
In Baltimore.
You're right.
We are having too much fun here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Jill and Joe coming at you, filling in on Stillman and Company. Plenty to get to coming up after the break, talking more running backs, including why Coach Callahan is the most excited about this one position. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Beautiful Tuesday. Thanks for starting off your week with us. And hey, don't forget, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today. Nashville Sounds taking on Iowa pregame at 6:20. First pitch 6:35 coming up in an hour. Also, don't forget coverage on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Now, we've been talking about King Henry, and we had some great callers call in, tell us about how they're still continuing to cheer for him. Not surprising, right? But there are two new running backs on this Titans roster that we've been talking a lot about this offseason that head coach Brian Callahan is high on. And that's saying a lot because there's a lot of new weapons on that offense, right? You have the wide receiver core of Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd joining DeAndre Hopkins. You also have a brand new offensive line, first-round draft pick, J.C. Latham. There's a lot to be excited about, a lot of different position groups. But here's why Callahan is most excited about this running backs group.
Tajay's got a little bit a different route running ability, where and Tony's got he's a smoother runner. They're both really explosive. Those guys are the ones I'm probably, of all the groups that we have, I think those guys are the ones that are the most exciting for me. Just all the different places you can put those guys in the formation, all the different ways you can get them the ball in the screen game, in the passing game. Really, really excited about what they've shown so far. Those guys are two really fantastic players. I'm happy we have those guys.
You heard head coach Brian Callahan mention the route running when it comes to Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. And Joe, Tony Pollard, before he broke his leg in that 2022 season, Tony Pollard was targeted at least 20% of his routes in each of his previous seasons with the Dallas Cowboys. So he's a dual threat. He can absolutely catch the ball. And you know, with the Titans talking about how much they want to pass the ball, that's going to be part of their game. Same with Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears coming off a pretty good rookie season, considering he was splitting carries with Derrick Henry. Spears last year, 100 carries, 453 yards, and two touchdowns.
Here's the thing, and don't get mad at me. I don't want to hear about Pollard or Spears catching the football, because you just paid a lot of money to three receivers.
That's fair.
I want to see those guys be change of pace when a defense is in a nickel defense and you do a little dump pass to Spears and he takes it off, or you do off tackle to Pollard. No, we're not prepared for it. If Spears or Pollard is a top three receiver on this football team, then there's something wrong. I want to see Ridley, Hopkins, Boyd, and the tight end with more catches than these guys.
No doubt. I don't think anyone, yes, and everyone would agree with you on that. Yes, and I'm not saying that Pollard or Tajay Spears is going to be, you know, catching the ball right and left.
Yeah, I mean, Callahan could go and talk about how great they are, but I want to see get the ball out. Now, if those three guys are pushing the defense down the field and you dump out the Spears and he takes off, I love that.
There you go.
That's a dynamic that nobody else has.
That's the versatility that Coach Callahan spoke a lot about throughout this offseason when it came to both of those two, the versatility in the backfield, versatility, hands, speed, quick movements. This is how we are transitioning out of the King Henry era. This is what the Titans have, and I believe these two, from what I've seen this offseason, what the players have said about this offseason, offense, this new offense, right? I think Pollard and Spears are going to be great fits. We keep talking about the wide receiver core, and rightfully so. I'm excited about this dynamic running back duo.
Do we think it'll be a 50-50 split as far as snap counts?
That's a great question.
That's a great one.
I don't know about touches. That's probably hard to project out.
I want to say yeah at first. 50-50. They're both similar but different. Tajay Spears has that great quick change of direction, that cutting. Pollard, strong speed, both different in their own ways. But I imagine maybe right out of the gate, 50-50.
I'm interested to see just, you know, who they start with in the game. That doesn't really matter, the starting lineup, too much when it comes to running backs.
Like hockey.
Because they can switch them out so much.
Yeah.
But just as a philosophical situation,
yeah.
You know, who do they see if they see a, quote, lead back.
Well, totally. You know what's funny about Spears is that, you know, you saw him in the Cotton Bowl when he ran over USC for Tulane.
Mm-hmm. All over.
Then the word comes out that he doesn't have cartilage in his knee or whatever the hell
something
that was.
Like that, or doesn't have no an ACL. Yeah.
It was just, I was like, what? And then you watch him play and that burst. I don't know. Dave Meggett, I'm an old man.
Giants.
Had that burst. And it was like, holy cow, man. And you haven't seen that in the league in a long time. He's got that. And just runs by guys.
I think he was surprisingly good in short yardage.
He was.
Last year.
He was.
At least for me.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely.
I don't know. I'm interested to see how it plays out. Snap counts.
Now, does it bug you that Tony Pollard's only started 23 games in five seasons?
No, because he broke his leg in 2022. Right. And before that, Joe, in 2022, he had 1,007 yards. 2023, 1,005 yards.
Okay, still played 14. He played 16 games in 2022.
See, because he's not a true workhorse back either.
Right.
So, as far as role, like, you know, splitting touches, I think they both fit.
Yeah.
That kind of fits well for their game.
Plus, if they both can support each other off the field, we've talked about that. Look, I don't care what I get as long as we win the game. If you need me to win, if you can find that camaraderie between those two guys, as you can in the receiver core, that's a win-win, man. All down the line, because you're putting the team first. You're not like, throw me the ball. It doesn't matter. You're putting the team first, and you want to win games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's all you have to do with that. So that's why it's a wait-and-see approach to these guys. And that's why the game one is so critical, because that game's on the road. It's the Bears, Caleb Williams. The new offense comes out. How much do you show in the preseason about
right.
that?
Right.
How much do you know? I mean, you got to show a little bit of it, right?
I agree. And it looks like we have a caller on the line, Chuck, giving us a call. Chuck, you're on 102.5, 106.3 The Game with Jill and Joe. How you doing, my friend?
How's it going, Jill? I just wanted to talk to you today anyway, Jill. How you doing?
I'm great. How you doing, Chuck? Thanks so much for spending your Tuesday late afternoon with us.
Sure. Hey, I just want to say Derrick Henry has done, I think he did all he could here in Tennessee, and he saw kind of riding on the wall with new quarterback and all the stuff going on, and he never had a chance to go out there in free agency. So I think Derrick Henry is the type of guy similar like Eddie George. Once he leaves, I think people here, including myself, and still be cheering for him to do well. And I think he's probably got – I think Derrick Henry, the way he's taking care of his body, I think he's probably got a good 3 or 4 years left.
Yes, he does.
In this league. But I think we're going to see a whole different type of offense. And I can't think of the other guy on the roster, the running back out of Michigan, who had some trouble, domestic trouble last year.
Hassan Haskins.
Yeah. Who?
Hassan Haskins.
I'm saying watch out for this guy, because I think they don't have – Pollard's not a bruiser, and the other running back's not a bruiser. I think Haskins might emerge out of nowhere, because this is going to be a whole different look from what we've been used to for these years. But I'm applauding Derrick Henry. He gave Tennessee all you could ask for, plus some. He's a nice guy, never got in trouble or anything, keeping himself right, and he seemed to love being here. But it was time for him to move on and got a better chance to maybe get into the Super Bowl.
Chuck, thank you so much. So I appreciate
still
your phone call. Yes, yes, no yes. Yeah. Chuck, thanks for the phone call. Chuck's our third caller that says he's going to cheer on King Henry, even though he's playing over with the Ravens. And, you know, Joe, Chuck brought up a good point. He said he put in his time. He gave everything to the Titans franchise for 8 years. 8 years was the face of franchise, was fantastic in the community as well. I haven't heard one Titans fan grumble or say anything bad about Henry's loyalty. It's almost like he gave it, everybody knows, he gave it everything he had. Yeah. No one's mad at him for leaving. He did it the right way. It's not like he up and left. Up and left, don't say anything. Maybe, you know, how about athletes when they say, I want to get out of my contract. Get me out of this. Yeah. I don't want to be here anymore. He could have absolutely done that.
Oh, he did. I mean, he was fine. I got no problem with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I mean,
but no one's questioning his loyalty.
No.
And I think that's a big reason why we've had three callers and a lot of people say, I'm going to continue to cheer King Henry on, regardless of where he is.
ESPN has the top rosters going into the 24 season. The Titans are 25th and the Ravens are 4th. I mean, so
okay.
So at this point, you want to go win a Super Bowl. You're not going to win it here. This team is not going to win a Super Bowl for a long time. They're not going to win a Super Bowl. Not this year and not next year probably and on down. Not going to do it. Baltimore is a top. I could give you the rest of the NFL if you give me four teams in the NFL, and I'll take that bet. Give me the Chiefs, the Niners, the Ravens, and possibly I think the Eagles have a return. I think the Eagles are a good team and could get back to where they were. I'll take those four teams, and then you have the rest of the field.
I'll take the rest of the field.
Yeah.
I'll take the rest of the field.
Because I don't think all those teams – Titans aren't that good. Texans aren't that good. Colts aren't that – I mean, there's just a lot of –
I think the Texans are going to be darn good.
But I don't think they have – they haven't been there. Baltimore pushed them around the playoffs.
They did last year with their rookie quarterback, who now returns for his second year.
They beat Cleveland, but they went up to Baltimore, and Baltimore had zero problem pushing them around. You can add players to get all that, but it's still – franchise as a whole to understand what winning means – the Texans have not been to that level. Maybe they'll get there this year. We'll see. But you got to go through Baltimore and Kansas City. Can you beat those two teams?
Right.
I don't think they can. I don't think they're built for it. Now, could be wrong. Last time I was wrong, though, Walter Mondale, 1984. Ian's not listening to us.
Sure, Joe.
I love doing that joke. If you know the joke, if you know, you know, my friends.
If you know, you know. Yep. We're having too much fun here. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jill and Joe filling in on Stillman and Company. And Joe, coming up after the break, I want to ask you, other than those four, who do you think could be the NFL team to run the table and make it through Baltimore, Kansas City, and have our maybe a early, way too early Super Bowl prediction?
Right.
Can we do that?
Can we do that?
Yeah. Okay, let's do that after the break. I have a team in mind as well. But thanks so much for spending your Tuesday with us. Stay with us. More on Stillman & Company coming up after the break. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Thanks so much for spending your Tuesday afternoon with us. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jill Jelnick, Fox 17, and Big Joe filling in on Stillman & Company. And Joe, thanks for putting up with me the last, like, four hours.
Same for you.
Yeah, well, I didn't say that. Yeah. No, we've been having a great time talking college football, Titans, even – some music. Sticks coming to SN Amphitheater this Friday. We talk it all, and I think always interested to hear or see who calls in, what they want to talk about.
Always.
And there's no question that when we talk about the Titans and Derrick Henry, that comes up, especially now that he is over on the Baltimore Ravens. I think one of the things we talked about before the break was you mentioned how there's four teams in your mind.
Only four.
Yep. Only four that are going to win the Super Bowl next year. No room for error.
No.
If you had to pick a team outside that four that you like, who would it be?
I saw the Titans beat that butt, though. But for some reason, Miami, it just – if that offense all clicks together, they could be really, really good. And if that defense can kind of step up, they could be – that's the one team – but they've let me down the last 3 years. I think Buffalo's window's gone now. So Miami's the one team outside those top four that I picked of Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, and Philadelphia that could be there. And people are like, oh, why Philadelphia? Look, if they put it together, that's a hell of a football team they've got there to go on. But you look around the rest of the league, NFC North, Chicago, I mean, Detroit, is Campbell going to make any more stupid calls?
They got close. If he didn't screw it up,
right?
They might have done it.
Who says he doesn't do it again?
What about the Lions? Why are we not talking about them?
Because of Dan Campbell.
Well, it was one call, though. You're not going to forgive him for that one call?
He blew against the Cowboys. They were at home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And he blew the 49ers.
Okay, so two calls. You're right. My bad. Two calls.
Don't be a meathead coach. Just kind of don't. And I get some of that with going for two. I understand that. But still, I still can't put him there until I know he can be reined in a little bit. But you look, the NFC West, I mean, the 49ers, Seahawks are going to be there. The Rams not. The Cardinals aren't going to be there. You go on and on and on. NFC South is really no better than the SEC. I mean, it's
the NFC is kind of weak.
It's terrible
in general.
Yeah.
Well,
thank
that's
you.
Why you said, what did you say? The road to the Super Bowl goes through Kansas City or Baltimore.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
And I think with Dak in Dallas, it's still not going to be there. And they're going to make that big contract thing with him where they're going to pay him. That's going to be a nightmare, too, as well. So I'll give those four, and you can have the other 28.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your thoughts? You mentioned earlier the Texans. You didn't think the Texans were going to compete. I think the Texans and their additions and what they've done, who they've added on top of their success last year with a rookie quarterback, to me, they seem, one, the favorite, obviously, to win the AFC South. But I would pick them to run the table.
So in 1981, Lawrence Taylor comes to the National Football League. Nobody's got an answer for him. Nobody can stop him. He's amazing. Ray Perkins gets fired. Bill Parcells comes in 82 and says, hey, you had a great year last year, but now every team has tape on you. What are you going to do now? Every team has tape on C.J. Stroud. And the Texans aren't that team like, well, it's the Texans. They know now. C.J. Stroud's a great quarterback. So now you're going to up your game a little bit on that. Can he up his game? Can you do that? Can you up your game? Can you come together as a team and do all that? Yeah, they spent a lot of money, added some great pieces in there, but that doesn't necessarily equal a Super Bowl championship.
Right.
So I want to see how that plays off the first, say, four or five games of the season. Then I'll determine that. But I think the team has tape on C.J. Stroud now. You know what works, what doesn't work. Nobody knew how good he was going to be.
No.
You had a great question to Trevor earlier about successful rookie quarterbacks. Hardly ever. Peyton Manning's first year in the league, awful. Troy Aikman's first year in the league, awful. So to see somebody like C.J. Stroud do that, kind of like his first year, like what's Brock Purdy? Nobody saw this.
No.
Now they're getting more and more tape on these guys and see what they could do. So until I see what he can do with year two, I'm going to be cautious on the Houston Texans.
Do wonder how much better C.J. Stroud can get.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, surely that wasn't his ceiling.
Better
his rookie year.
Right.
You know, but you do wonder, you know, how much better can you get? Or can he get in year two, considering how well he did the first year?
Yep.
So I'm not sure.
In college, we always talk about the sophomore slump, right? That really, how big of a jump can you make from that freshman year to that sophomore year? Same in the pros. That rookie year to year two is where you can judge someone off of their, not just their work ethic, but also their ability to adapt, be flexible. And obviously at that position, that's going to be huge for C.J. Stroud. And I do want to mention again, we have a lot more rookie quarterbacks coming in this year. Six were taken in the top 12 picks this year.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Now, not all of them are going to see playing time. And to your point about Peyton Manning and Troy
Aikman. Start them all.
Maybe.
Go play.
Just start them all. Baptism by fire.
Yeah, and I get the part about Will Levis taking him out last year because the offensive line was so bad. Because at that point, we had seen enough of him. But go play. I mean, McNair sat for 2 years behind Chris Chandler, and McNair really didn't come into his own until like 98, 99, kind of exploded there on the field, doing pretty well. But you sat for 2 years, and if I'm an owner and I got you, you ain't sitting. Go play.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud succeeded. Why can't you go play? So I think you go out and put these quarterbacks out there, and there's no more sitting around anymore. You can learn in the offseason. I don't want you learning on Sunday. I want you playing on Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, Manning was terrible. 3 and 3, more interceptions, I think, in 98 than any other quarterback around, but he never quit. You know, that's the same with Brett Favre, too. Brett Favre was the same way. Brett Favre would throw an interception down 70 yards down the field, would come back out and fight again. You got to learn. Only way you can learn is through on the field, you know, during the game. When you're doing everything and it counts and you understand what's happening. This is sitting back observing. I always hate the coach that says, we're getting mental reps. What was it last year? Didn't Simmons sit out camp? He's getting mental reps or something. He was mad.
Yeah.
Or two years ago, whatever. What, I'm getting mental. Come on, man. You're not getting mental reps. That helps you nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
go through the fire.
Mental reps and mental game. We're talking about two different things right there, right? Mental mindset of the game, mental game, completely different thing.
Did you learn when you play collegiate softball sitting on the bench?
I learned to be really, really mean and ugly and pissed off.
Right. By playing. You hated losing. You wanted to be
hated
out there.
It. Yeah, I hated it. It's hard to make the argument that you're learning mentally when you're learning
fun,
at all.
Did you have fun college? You called Tennessee softball this year, right?
Yeah, Lady Vols softball. Yeah.
Did you have fun doing handful. That?
Oh, loved it. Absolute blast.
Did you get mad at players when there's like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Not on the air, but.
I was just going to say, I got to put that switch on, that shield. I won't say that on air. Honestly, no, because those girls were darn good. They did make a lot of mistakes.
Right. Well, that's what.
Yeah. The other teams, though, I was like, oh, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Well,
oh, no.
Another question is, why aren't Hall of Fame players good football coaches?
Great question.
Because they asked Mike Singletary this one time. He's like, I can't get you to prepare the way I prepared.
Yeah.
And that drives these guys crazy. So there's a lot that goes into it.
There's a lot that goes into a big Joe and Jill show.
That's
too.
Right.
4 hours.
Double J, man.
Joe, this has been a blast. I appreciate you having me here. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And everybody that's listening today, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate all the callers as well and hope you have a terrific Tuesday. That's it for us on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.